You, I don't know if you live in the Table View area, but someone called in yesterday and spoke about sludge and spoke about the fact that it's not being dealt with properly and that there's an awful stink taking place in the area. Well, there certainly seems to be no end in sight, you know, for Table View residents, as the untreated stink caused, you know, that sewage and sludge at the city's Potsdam water treatment plant works continue to make life miserable for people. We've received a couple of calls from people living in the area saying this is not right. We cannot live like this. The main problem is due to a buildup of sludge which hasn't been removed. This is according to reports due to the previous contract coming to an end. You gotta love government, eh? Tenders. Tenders, tenders, tenders. If it goes wrong, there's no My City bus from Khayelitsha to Cape Town. People must suffer. If it goes wrong, you put up with the stink. But we'll find out more about that. You know, various groupings, including Stop City of Cape Town, Dear Cape Town, and Milnerton Central Residents Associations are not happy about this. So, Zanthia Limburg, how's it?
Hi, Kino. Good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
All the best, by the way, for 2021.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you so much. And Caroline Marks, Milnerton Residents Association, Central, I should say. Good morning to you, Caroline.
Good morning, Keanu, and thanks very much for inviting me back. Though I'm sorry it's necessary, but yes, best of 2021 to you as well.
Thank you so much. All right, so Caroline, let's start with you. You know, the one thing people can say what they like about Zanthia, she's available when we want to chat to her, and she answers the question. So always appreciate it, Zanthia. Caroline, what is the challenge? I mean, we dealt with you know, some of those challenges last time around, but I think we need a bit of a refresher and just, you know, focusing in on the core challenge.
Well, Keanu, the core challenge at the moment is the contract wasn't renewed to remove the sludge in time. So the sludge has been stockpiled at Potsdam, which is causing a total stink in the area. Now, the questions I'd like to ask Zanthia are, why were you and the councillors not informed up front? Who is the responsible person for renewing the contract? What are the financial costs of the contract not being renewed? Why are the prior requests that ARTA has submitted still being ignored? Why are development plans still being passed? How many sewage plants are non-compliant in Cape Town at the moment? And I see Athlone sitting at about 27%. So I don't think many are compliant. And also, finally, why are the water results still not publicly available?
Okay, those are a lot of questions. I'm not expecting Zanthia to remember all of those. And so let's deal with them one by one.
Okay.
Zanthia, just your take on it. I mean, just from a – because, you know, Caroline painted the picture. What is your take on that situation?
So, yes, Caroline is correct. The source of the odour relates to the stockpiling of sludge at the Potsdam wastewater treatment works. Unfortunately, since January this year, neither waste-activated sludge or primary sludge cake is being removed from our wastewater treatment plants due to appeals on the sludge tender. So the existing tender expired on the 31st of December. We started a process to replace that tender more than a year ago, and the new sludge tender was initially awarded in March last year for the first time. That award was appealed, and the appeal was upheld, and the entire award was then revoked. We then went to
Hold on. I don't want to just rush over this. So on which basis was it revoked?
So the way that the process works essentially around appeals is that the appeal, once a tender goes into appeal, that line department does not form part of the process who designed the specification. It goes to an appeal unit where there are supply chain or legal services officials, as well as the city manager, the appeal authority,
right,
that oversees that. So the appeal is essentially upheld for a range of reasons, whether it be specifications or location or costing, but the line department, being water and sanitation, would not form part of that appeal process.
Okay, but in this particular case, what was the issue?
The issue was in relation to the bidders that bid for certain of the awards. This particular tender is split across more than one service provider, and so essentially the appeal was upheld in relation to the bidder who, or the bidders, service providers that received the tender.
Okay, but hold on. So the people who appealed on which basis? That was my key question. So I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to understand why we have difficulties.
On who the award was essentially awarded to, on the service provider that the contract was awarded to.
Okay, but tell us more. So what was wrong with that service provider, apparently, which is now upheld, obviously, as you were saying?
Well, essentially, as I said, we are not entirely involved in that process. And as a politician, I'm also not supposed to be involved in any procurement processes in relation to the Municipal Management Finance Act. So I have to also tread a very careful line.
Sure.
But essentially, the award was in relation to who the service providers were that were awarded the contract based on a range of issues that was pointed out in terms of capacity, etc.
Yeah. I mean, as the political head, you also need to know what's happening. You know, in the departments, you don't actively have to get involved in that, I hope, because that'll be another interview. But you should know what is happening and understand exactly why it's happening. Because ultimately, politically, you're part of a make-o where there's an executive. I don't know, is Dan an executive mayor now, or isn't he?
No, he is an executive mayor.
He's not an executive mayor. Okay.
But as I said, I mean, even if one is supplied with the reasoning as to the appeal, as the mayoral committee member, I don't have the authority to override or question the decision of the appeal authority in this regard.
Absolutely. But no one asked for that, Xanthia. I simply just wanted to know why an appeal was upheld. It's material to the discussion that we're having at the moment. And the discussion that we're having is about a series of delays, thanks to appeals, which has led to a sludge build-up and a G-awful stink. So that's why I asked the question. And I think as a public servant and as a government and a local government, it is your responsibility to explain to people exactly why this is occurring. We can't talk in generalities. And that is why I asked the question about what exactly the challenge was and why people were appealing the initial tender, as you said way back in, was it March?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, that's all.
As I said, it relates to the service providers who was awarded the tender. So that was in the first round of the tender being awarded. Okay. Then we went into a second round of award, and one of the recommended tenderers then withdrew from the tender just before the final recommendations went to the bid adjudication committee. So that further delayed the process. And then there was a third attempt to award the tender in November last year. And there has now been two appeals on that tender as well.
Okay, so this is like My City, Khayelitsha to Cape Town, but just with sludge. Same type of problem.
Well,
you don't get service delivery because there's an issue with the tenders and the granting of tenders.
The challenges here is that one has to obviously attempt to provide the service while still complying with the finance-related and procurement legislation. And so that procurement legislation and process does permit for an appeal process. And obviously, if the tender is of high value, what one often finds is that tenders are quite often and regularly appealed because the stakes are quite high.
Well, I mean, if you do things properly the first time and you tick all the boxes you need to tick, and you grant the tender to who needs to get the tender, then an appeals process won't stand up, surely?
Well, I mean, even in this regard, we are in the process. The appeal authority has made a decision on the appeal. Some of the aspects in the appeal have been upheld in relation to location of work assigned to certain service providers.
Mm.
So it's not a case of the department hasn't done its work.
Okay.
It obviously puts specifications together and ensures that those goes through the rigorous and necessary assessment.
Mm.
And as I said, by the time it goes through that evaluation or appeal process, we do have very limited influence in being able to overturn those decisions.
You're listening to Zanthe Limburg. Now, Zanthe Limburg is the MACO member, and what we are discussing, which is the sludge works out in the Table View area, that does fall under her department. Karen Marks is with the Milnerton Residents Association, and we've received a call from Andrea in Johannesburg from Outer. Hi, Andrea. Good to have you on the show.
Hi. Hi. Good morning, Kino, and thank you for having me.
Pleasure. So you've been listening to this?
Yes, I have.
So what's your take?
All right. So it's basically just a question, and maybe Zanthe won't be able to respond immediately, but I think that is something that is worthwhile. So my question, it's with regard to the tender processes, and although she is correct in saying that people do have, or the suppliers do have a right to appeal the process, my question then is if they were aware of an appeal from last year March already, the question is, did they open the tender? Was it an open tender, or did they only send it out to, for instance, the suppliers on their list? I know that most municipalities, they do have service providers, a closed list of service providers can normally send the tenders to because they have a working relationship with them. But the question then is if they were aware of appeals process from a specific service provider as far back as March, did they then open up the tender for other bidders to maybe apply for this tender? Because surely there's a lot of people, a lot of companies that offer the same services and not just a couple of service providers that can offer this. I think at the end of the day, Arthur's perspective and Arthur's take on this as well is that you were aware of an issue as far back as March. You knew the contract was coming to an end December. December is most probably the busiest time of the year, and yet nothing was done. So just some clarity with regards to that. That's okay. The only question that I have.
So yeah. Andrew, by the way, with the organization Aren't Doing Tax Appeals, for those who don't know what Outer is, Andrea, there is another follow-up to this that I want to ask, but I want to give Zanthea the opportunity to respond to that. Zanthea?
To Andrea, all tenders and this tender were publicly advertised, so it was in no way a closed advertisement process. And tenders are also placed on the city's supply chain portal, but it has been more broadly advertised, and so there weren't a select group of service providers that this was sent to.
Okay.
Now, the last time we had a discussion, Zanthea, you said you would, you know, if Outer requested information, you would send that information to them, and you guys would work, you know, you said you'd work together with them and to try and understand what the challenges are. Andrea, have you made requests? Have those requests been answered?
Right. So, Kina, just to place you in the picture, we did receive correspondence from the City of Cape Town in December last year, reaching out to Arthur. So we are currently in the process of setting up a meeting with the city to discuss sharing information and to discuss the broader issues pertaining to the Milnerton pollution issues. So, yes, I must commend the city for coming
Brilliant.
To the fore and is willing to engage with us. So hopefully beginning February or in February, we'll be having meaningful engagement with the city in order to take hands, work together, and resolve this issue. So, yes, I just want to place that on record. We are in the process of arranging a meeting.
Okay, brilliant. That's good news. Good news.
Yeah.
Zanthea did give us her undertaking that she, you know, would, and she's lived up to that word. Now, Caroline Marks from the Milnerton Residents Association. You asked a question about financial costs earlier. Can you just give us a little, if you can pricey it for us, but the financial cost of what exactly?
The financial cost of not having an interim plan in place. And again, my question hasn't been asked. Why was Ms. Limburg not aware of this critical situation until the residents complained. It is her portfolio. Okay. And who is the responsible person for this contract?
Okay. Is that correct? Did you only find out about this when the residents complained, or did you know about this prior to that?
So in terms of this particular tender, I knew that this tender was being replaced. We were only informed that there was an appeal on the tender in December after our council recess, that we were notified, and only last week were we notified of a second appeal on the tender, which meant that the initial deviation report which we submitted on the 11th of December had to be updated. So I was aware of certain aspects of the issue, but not in detail as to the fact that the appeals have now been extended far beyond what we had planned for, and that has now resulted in the odor-related issues.
Do you think you should have been informed earlier?
Well, my team has informed me as far as they possibly could. And I think most importantly, some of the information, as I've just indicated,
yes,
only came to us as of last week. So, I mean, as best as possible, we try and keep each other informed of all of these different and critical services. And it is unfortunate that we are in this position, because we have really attempted to have the tender in place before the expiry of the existing tender.
What's the financial cost of all of this?
Well, the particular contract that we are speaking about is to the tune of just over 2 million rand per month that we pay to render the service, because the service is provided by a third-party specialist contractor that both collects the sludge from all of the wastewater treatment plants across the city and then disposes of that sludge accordingly. Primary sludge goes to our hazardous waste site, and then secondary goes to agriculture. And so the specialist contractors fulfill those specific duties, and so it is quite a significant amount of money that is set aside towards that tender.
Okay, and Caroline, I think your question centered around the cost of not having a plan in place. Explain that to me.
Well, there are additional costs that are now being incurred, because that sludge is going to have to be moved, it's going to have to be treated with odor control, it's being treated with lime, and then there are additional costs incurred because the contract wasn't renewed in time.
Okay. I'm not sure if Xanthia's got those at her fingertips at the moment, but are there significant additional costs?
As an immediate contingency measure to try and manage the situation while we were in this procurement and appeal process, we did do covering and liming and applying of odor suppressants to the stockpiles at all of our sites, as well as Potsdam. And at Potsdam as well, we installed additional odor suppressants dosing around the perimeter of the plant, particularly on the northern perimeter, where obviously a significant portion of the residential component is located. So that has added additional costs, but it is the most immediate intervention that we could make without having to go through any complex approval processes.
Okay. Now, Caroline, we have to wrap. So, and maybe if we can just wrap for 3 to 4 to 5 minutes max after our news headlines, I'd appreciate that. 29 minutes to 11. We are wrapping up our discussion with Councillor Xanthia Limburg, MACO member. We also chatting to Caroline Marks, Milnerton Residents Association, because of a sludge buildup in the area. And that's at the waterworks out in the Potsdam area. There is a stink, and the residents aren't happy. Xanthia saying, well, we only really knew about the details of all of this December and slightly prior to that. Caroline Marks is saying, this is not good enough. There should have been a backup plan to remove that sludge. Are you concerned about health issues, Caroline, at all? And if so, what do you base that on?
Well, a lot of the residents, particularly those with asthma, are complaining that they are coughing, their asthma is worse. Some people are complaining they're nauseous, that they're retching in the morning, and particularly on these still hot days, if you are unfortunate enough to stay a few hundred meters away. And that's actually in contravention with the city's water license. You know, that's not allowed to happen. It's specified.
So
the residents have real, especially in this time of a COVID epidemic, which is a respiratory virus, the last thing you want to do is aggravate people's asthma.
If, Xanthia, if this were oxygen that needed to get to hospitals, what would government do then?
So we have attempted to implement emergency type procurement processes through deviation.
Mm.
So the very day that the Water and Sanitation Department were notified of the first appeal in on the 11th of December, that very day we submitted our deviation report to our city supply chain management department.
Okay.
We are still in the process of getting that concluded.
Mm.
And we've had to update it because of the second appeal, which we were only notified of last week.
So when was that second appeal lodged again? Sorry, ma'am, just remind me.
We received notice of that second appeal last week, Wednesday.
But when was it actually lodged?
So there's a the award was made on the 9th of November 2020, and then there is a 21-day appeal period. The Water and Sanitation Department were notified of the first appeal on the 11th of December 2020. And then we were notified that there is a second appeal last week. But we submitted that deviation to get an emergency procurement process underway on the 11th of December when we were notified of that first appeal. So it's not that we haven't attempted to initiate emergency temporary services. We have done so, and we are still following on that process, because even though we have now received a decision on the appeal by the appeal authority on Monday afternoon, and we are in the process of doing contract vetting and signing, which legal services does, we haven't foregone the deviation or emergency procurement process, because there is still a risk that the appellants are not satisfied with the outcome, and they can always litigate. So we have still a plan B that will hopefully realize if we run into any problems, but we are potentially at the end of that appeal process and can get contractors on site quite soon. And we're hoping that is what we can do within the next couple of days.
Yeah, I listen to this and I understand. You know, I mean, you've got your hands tied. There are appeals, and those appeals are allowed to go. One thing I can't understand is that there isn't a backup plan sooner. So with the first series of appeals that took place, you now know this thing's going to be set out by a good couple of months. Why emergency procurement was not initiated then to make sure that your residents get what they deserve? And by the way, are you in contravention of your water license?
Well, what we did when we were notified of these appeals and we had to start stockpiling the sludge, we did write to the National Department of Water and Sanitation to alert them of the situation. So they have been informed, and they will obviously have to make their assessment around whether we are compliant or not and whether the contingency measures that we have put in place on site are adequate enough given the circumstances.
Okay, so if you're running a business, Anthea, and you effectively would be sitting on either senior management or the board, really, given your position, would you be happy with this situation if you were running a business?
No, I definitely wouldn't be happy with the situation. And I do sincerely regret and apologize to the residents that have to live with that odor. But I am and my department are doing all that we can within the realm of the national procurement legislation and supply chain procedures. Mm-hmm. We also need to, as I said right from the start,
yes,
ensure that the way in which we render services remains compliant. And even the emergency procurement processes still have to undergo set requirements. And so we are trying to follow that while fast-tracking everything that we have possibly at our disposal. And it's a matter that I follow up on a day-to-day basis. We initiated four procurement alternatives, one being the fast-tracking of the appeal as part of our contingency measures. Many of those are still in the process, and these processes don't lie within the Water and Sanitation Department's direct sphere of control and influence. So we are also dependent on other departments playing their part, and we are working closely with them to do exactly that.
Which is why you sit on a MACO, and you've got another MACO member in charge of another department who can obviously do what they need to do. I just, you know, I think about, and listen, I understand, things happen and things go wrong. But if businesses were run along these lines, they'd be bankrupt because they wouldn't have customers. And that is the challenge that I have, and it's not just with local government or regional government, national definitely, but it's just about saying, all right, what is acceptable when it comes to a lag in service delivery? Imagine this happened with waste collection, and for 8 months, no one came to collect our waste, Cynthia. Surely, when you put a strategy in place to deliver services, part of that needs to take into account what potentially can happen. And we know how litigious people are when they don't get the business. And that litigation has an impact on delivery. And anybody knows that. If there's an impact on delivery, one then has to say, this is where we draw the line, because service delivery is going to be hampered, and at this particular point, so there's a 2-month delay, we put in emergency procurement procedures and we go to whoever we need to get the capital and get the service delivered. That's how I see it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of those people who has it wrong. But if this were a business, you'd have unhappy clients.
I don't dispute what you're saying at all, and I'm equally as frustrated. But I think the big difference here is that the private sector or local business, unfortunately, does not have to go through or have their procurement processes comply or adhere to the Municipal Management Finance Act, which is national legislation. Failure to do that, you either get reported for irregular or unauthorized expenditure. So,
unless Anthea, you do your emergency procurement legally up front.
No, absolutely, and that is exactly what we have attempted to do in this regard.
Okay.
So it's not a case of that we haven't explored other alternatives, and I think, what I've shared with you today in terms of timeline is also an indication that the Water and Sanitation Department did not in any way waste any time. As soon as we got notified of that first appeal, we took instant action, and we have been doing so throughout the entire process.
Zanthi Limick is the MACO member in the City of Cape Town. Caroline, your final comments.
My problem is that Potsdam Works has been non-compliant for more than 2 years, and a lot of those problems are caused by procurement problems. It took over a year to get the UV lights replaced. So when are they going to stop using procurement problems as an excuse for non-delivery?
Well, hold on. No. With respect, though, you can't say they're using procurement as an excuse. If it actually happens, if procurement happens and people appeal, then it is a legal process that those people follow, Caroline, and it's what is allowed to happen. So that's not an excuse. It's something that happens. What is the problem is your backup plan when these things happen so that you deliver services effectively.
Absolutely. Okay. Agree with you.
Okay, yep. So Caroline Marks, Molniton Residents Association, thank you for joining us. Xanthia Limburg, thank you for your time as always. We have gone a bit thank over you. To both of you, but much appreciated. Coming up next, we'll chat to Wendy Alberts, the CEO of the South African Restaurant Association.